Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson, and this is Miss Into Podcast.
The Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast, talking all things, Kelly. And to you.
Here is Jeremy and Pam.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And my name is Pam, and we have a super fun episode today that I think is going to make everyone LOL. We have a few special guests with us today. We have sometimes third host Rob.
Good morning. I am once again. Good morning, everyone.
People are going to start thinking that you're like permanently now on the show. I mean, I've been asked.
Have you?
Oh yeah.
Very funny. I've been on a lot.
You have, but we love you, so it's fine. And we have two very special guests as well, who I love dearly. We have the lovely Tommy. Hi, Tommy.
Good morning. I'm sorry.
Good morning. In advance. And we have Danielle. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, guys.
So, Rob, can you explain what the episode is and how this came to be?
Yeah. All right. So I want everybody to picture a very drunken Tuesday in January.
Tuesday?
Wasn't it Tuesday? Tuesday or Wednesday. It was a weeknight.
The tequila festival?
No, the one that Pam was at.
Yeah, that was a Friday.
The thing.
Yeah.
That was a Friday.
Oh, that was a Friday. Yeah.
That was a Friday night.
It was Friday?
Guys, we're 2 minutes in and we're already fighting. I mean, I can't handle it.
All right. It was a Friday evening.
Okay, so let's rewind. Picture a drunken weeknight. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pam had this idea, or we were kind of like brainstorming.
I think it was Tommy's idea.
And Tommy decided to invite himself onto the Miss Into Podcast as someone who doesn't have the fan gene, doesn't have the sort of obsessive gay gene of like everybody's got a pop diva that they keep in their back pocket.
That's right. It bypassed me.
It skipped a generation or it skipped a whole person.
Generation? I'm not that much older than you.
But he suggested that he go on to do like a Kelly 101 episode of like rudimentary things that any fan knows the back of their hand.
What a fan believes that someone anybody should know.
And kind of common knowledge-ish.
Right. And Danielle was with us, and we were like, that would be fun, because like Danielle's known me longer than Tommy, and like she's kind of been like on the periphery of like my tweets and my posts and my everything. So she's, by proxy, must know something.
I like every one of your tweets just to like support you, but like sometimes when you're like, oh, she did this, I'm like, I don't know what she did, but whatever Rob says.
And I do not follow
him. No, he doesn't follow me. And Danielle's like, another tweet about a tie skirt. Like,
oh, I'm so excited. So we actually had you guys, the listeners, fill out a Google form a few weeks ago about things that you think the average person should know about Kelly. So Rob and I went into that forum, took some inspiration, and made some questions.
We want to see like how much have you gotten out of this relationship just by,
don't put it that way, because just by it's not gonna go well.
Osmosis.
Where are the receipts?
Yeah.
It's time to collect on your Kelly knowledge.
Well, please let me give a disclaimer that yes, I am not. I do not have the super fan gene. Ina Garten, the barefoot contestant, is about as close as it comes. And I once stumbled upon a book signing of hers, and the line was like maybe a little too long, probably even moving quickly. And I was like, nope, goodbye. And I turned it
off. Whereas like I've waited overnight in lines happily just fine. So it's a very different mindset.
Yeah. It's fine.
Love this. And you guys make it work.
Yeah. He ignores me.
Now, Danielle, what about you, though? Because, I mean, you know, we obviously see the osmosis that's happening with Tommy and Rob, but, like, what about you?
In terms of Kelly knowledge or anybody I'm obsessed with?
Or just anybody in general.
When I was growing up and I loved Broadway, I work on Broadway. And when I was growing up and was, like, fangirling over Broadway people, like Brian D'Arcy James or, like, Kelly O'Hara, like, random Broadway people, my mom would always call them Johnny Von John John because she had no idea, like, who they were. And they all, like, were the same to her because they're not famous except in a very specific world. So I feel like it's kind of like that, where it's like I'm just fangirling over these very specific things, and somebody that doesn't know about that is like, yeah, this guy.
But she does have a fan gene, because she did have like internet friends, and like she, like you met Cressa through the internet, I think. Like,
yeah, my very best friend I met through LiveJournal when I was like 14 because we were both fans of Wicked.
God. Oh my God.
Fantastic.
So the fan gene is there.
It is definitely there somewhere.
And I will say, this night that this idea came to be, when Danielle and I were meeting up, she's like, I'm listening to Kelly right now. And you were listening to me, which I was like, ooh, not a, you know, not one of the stereotypical, you know, singles. So I was very proud of you.
Rob keeps telling me I was listening to the new album because Rob was like, it's so good. You got to listen, all this stuff. And I was like, I got to listen to meet up with my Kelly friends and like be like, oh, yes, I can talk about it. Even though I really can't. We'll see how
new album is called Chemistry.
There you go.
Off the album Chemistry.
Right.
If I had a little like game show dinger, I would ding you for that.
Well, Rob has buzzers. Are they at work?
They're downstairs. A few weeks ago, something from Chemistry was on the radio on the Kelly Clarkson Connection, which Tommy has stationed.
I love that
as station. Number one on his favorite.
It's excellent.
But Chemistry was on, and he goes, "Oh, this is the album after Breakaway," and like technically yes, but 20 years later,
as my students would say, "Well, I'm not wrong."
Yeah. Exactly. So listeners sent in questions of like things that anybody would know. And so we're going to ask you a few of these questions. You're going to write down your answer. And we're going to see who's right, who's wrong.
Okay.
How much you sort of know rudimentally.
Danielle, I just want to say I love you and I hope you win.
I love you and hope you win too.
I don't think either one of us are winners in this.
I think the listeners are the winners,
that's
really
true.
This is just entertainment.
Should we begin?
Go for it.
Which season of American Idol did Kelly win?
All right.
I kind of want to play along.
Jeremy!
See how much I remember.
Tommy says, you can hold it up.
Are you sharing now?
Yeah.
I wrote first season.
First
season. Yay!
Hey.
Got it right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Got it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Jeremy, can you do your air horn?
Brr, brr, brr. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Kelly thing. She likes to do that.
She likes to do that. Yeah, that's right. Good for you. Uh-huh. And Pam has one, too. We can break out now in a second. Okay.
Hey.
Hey, that's a good one.
That one wasn't bad.
That came out nice.
Thank you.
I'm going to need you to really put your back into it, though, next time.
Hey, I did like a body roll. Okay.
Pam, after this one's
all right, I'm going to ask the next question. What was the name of the first single that Kelly released that did not come from American Idol?
That's right. Her first non-Idol single. We've lost them, everyone.
My face just should have like, ugh.
Well, it's been nice.
All right. You guys ready?
What's that say?
Tommy said, For Your Love. Danielle?
I said Breakaway, which I don't think is right because that was probably after, right? Like long after.
Yeah, you're both wrong.
Wrong.
You thought wrong, everyone.
The funny thing is that they were wrong on like the opposite spectrum.
Yeah.
Tommy had like the last one released before, and I mean not so much the last one, but not too far after was what Danielle said.
Mm-hmm. That's like an honors question. Like yes, it is. That's a gotcha question. I never ask my students that kind of question on a quiz.
But we didn't even tell you the answer. You're gonna be like,
yeah.
Okay.
The answer is Miss Independent.
Ah.
God damn it.
For Your Love. For Your Love was a faux single, like a double release with a moment like this.
Yeah.
Which, incidentally, For Your Love is Tommy's favorite Kelly song.
Yes.
We can go into that after the game show portion.
All right. The next question I can ask. Contestants, tell us what the name is of Kelly's debut album. This would be the first post-American Idol album.
Rob, can you just tell us what you almost just spit out?
Oh, yes. We're drinking for this episode because Tommy was like, I can't get through a whole podcast about things I don't know without a cocktail. So this, for those of you who don't follow yet, Mr. Mixitall, MrMixitall, Mr. Mixitall is my Kelly Clarkson cocktail Instagram account. And today we are drinking Drankful. So Drankful.
And it's the color.
Oh yeah.
Honor.
It's a lemon Prosecco spritz. So it's a little bit blonde, and it has a raspberry syrup, so it has the red highlights, just like the
cup. That's funny.
This album that you're going to tell us the name of.
All right, Danielle, you cannot write down. All right, everyone, put your answers up. I just realized it's a really bad time
I think
to talk about the drink.
No. It was perfect because they both got it wrong anyway.
Tommy said Miss Independent. Danielle, what was yours again?
My December. Which yeah. I knew was wrong as soon as you said red highlights. I was like, I don't think she has red highlights on that one.
The correct answer, very similar to the name of Rob and Tommy's drink, was Thankful.
So thankful. Drankful, because I'm drankful for the blessings and the lessons.
You're Mr. Yes. It All, and I'm Mr. Drinks It All.
It's funny though, Rob, because just based on what I can see on the screen, I can't tell exactly the perfect color of your drink, but I would have thought that that would have been a nod to one of the bonus songs off of Chemistry. I thought your drink was going to be called Rosé's.
Oh, that's funny. No, I actually have one coming when it's a little bit warmer called It's Too Late for Frosé.
Oh, very nice.
Can you have me over?
Stay tuned. Okay.
Bam.
I remember last time we had Frosé, you were talking to strangers on the street, Pam. I was walking on Fifth Avenue, like, I love your sweater. Those shoes are so cool. And I'm like, why is she talking to everybody?
Checks out.
Why is she New York's best friend right now? What state is Kelly originally from?
She wears it loud and proud.
Yes. Tommy
they both
says,
said Texas.
Texas. Yeah, you got one right.
I got two right.
Point for everybody.
You guys got two right. That's right. That's right.
Also Tommy's favorite song.
Oh yeah. I love that song so much. What about?
I will say I only remember that because of the current American Idol commercials that are like going to hometowns or whatever. And it has the sign that says Kelly Clarkson from wherever Texas that she's from. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's too hard of a question to name the actual town.
which Jeremy has been to.
Yeah, which that would be in our Kelly 102 lesson.
Gotta graduate first.
AP.
Yeah.
AP exam.
AP Clarkson.
Yeah,
Okay. Next question is, how many Christmas albums has Kelly released?
If Mariah is the queen of Christmas, Kelly is definitely vying for princess.
Ready?
Or at the very least, queen consort.
Okay. Tommy said three.
I said three, too.
Is it two?
I wish it was three.
It's two, isn't it?
Yes.
That was my original guess.
It's two albums.
God, I can have one every year.
I can picture the covers of the two, and I thought, well, you're making it sound like she's so prolific, which she is. Those are great songs, but more than two, I didn't.
Just two.
Oh well.
That's how we throw you off.
Tommy and Kelly share the same opinion of her Christmas music being her best stuff.
Absolutely.
So that's a hot take.
Yeah, not the worst opinion.
No, it's an opinion that he has.
All right. The next question. What is the performance segment at the beginning of the Kelly Clarkson show called?
Tommy just like looked dead in the eyes.
I saw a glimmer of joy. He was really happy to get this one right. I think he knows it.
So say Danielle, you know, immediately went to writing.
Whoa.
Kelly-oke.
Kelly-oke.
Yes.
Yay!
Both of them got it right.
All right.
My friend Dustin came up with a drink called the Kelly Oakey, O-A-K-E-Y.
What's that?
We would have to do it with some like bourbon-y, like oaky spirit.
Oh, I like that idea.
Smoker.
Yeah. Ooh. Now you're speaking my language.
The last question. Who is Kelly's ex-mother-in-law?
We'll give you a hint. It's someone famous. It's not like, you know. I don't know.
That would be very funny if it was like just some woman named Joan.
I don't know if I spelled the last name right, but.
Trisha Yearbook.
Teresa
Yearbook.
I questioned the same one.
Yay! You both got Reba.
Yay! Yeah! That is correct.
Yes. Also, between the Two Worlds, Two Voices.
That was the Two Worlds, Two Voices tour. The other voice was Miss Reba.
But see how bad my memory is? We discussed that and I wouldn't have gotten that question correct.
Yeah, and you also didn't spell McIntyre correct. But I can't spell McLaughlin
as we all
know. Lachlan.
Danielle was right in just writing Reba, because that's all you need. You
Reba. Reba. Yes.
I don't know. I mean, Danielle's had a question mark at the end, so it's more like Reba?
It's like
very excited for Reba to be performing at the Super Bowl.
Oh, I can't wait to hear how many extra syllables she puts in the word flag.
Wait, I was thinking about the word just even the very first whoa, hey.
She's not performing with Usher. She's just
singing. That would be hilarious. No, she's doing the
she's actually
anthem.
Doing, yeah, she's doing My Boo with Usher.
My Boo, woo, 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 woo.
My Boo, woo, 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 woo.
God,
you said that. I'm just picturing like her coming up out of like a trapdoor, just slowly rising up, and then everybody's like, "Woo!" And then her and Usher like a single mom who works two jobs. I want to hear Usher on that song.
Love that.
Yes.
Remix.
Okay. That's right.
Okay, our next. We didn't put enough questions. I thought these were going to be a lot harder. Okay, our next category is called Name This. So we're gonna have a couple of questions here, and you're going to have to name a few things. So the first question is, name three songs by Kelly that are not Since You've Been Gone or Stronger.
Pam was really polite with this, because I would have said that aren't singles, but
you know what I could also say, that have not also been answers yet. So you can't take Thankful, you know, no, I'm or Miss Independent.
Can we do Christmas songs?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course.
But you can't do like White Christmas or
Yeah, they'd have to be we're gonna be stingy and say they have to be originals.
Yeah.
I got this one.
All right, our contestants are feverishly writing. Anybody else hear the Jeopardy music every single time we wait for them to write their answers? Oh, just me? Okay.
Yeah.
I am of a certain age.
I love Jeopardy. I just don't think about that.
I don't think
I have Jeopardy. I have That's Right stuck in my head now, so.
I wonder if I could actually use that, just use the, every time they get a question right, I'll just use the little clip of her going, sure. That's right.
I totally think you can.
Oh, Tommy wants bonus points.
I just in case. Just put down extras.
Oh. All right, Danielle, what were your answers?
I said Sober, Mr. Know-It-All, and Underneath the Tree.
Excellent.
That is absolutely correct. Yes.
Great job, Danielle.
I also said Sober, You Love Me, Second Wind.
Because oh, come on!
I also said Breakaway, That's Right, Underneath the Tree, Christmas Isn't Cancelled. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, but there's a parenthesis afterwards. Christmas Isn't Cancelled.
Just You.
Just You.
Yes. Well, like, one of those Tommy, lovely parentheticals.
Tommy, that was clever.
That was. Yeah. What a cheater. I learned from the best. I learned from my 10th graders. What else can I, I spend all day with 16 years.
All right. The next question. Kelly doesn't have that many celebrity feuds, but there have been a few. Name at least one of the people that Kelly may have feuded with in the celebrity realm.
Danielle's face.
And also, what you think the feud might have been. I want
That could be just for fun.
That's
extra
bonus
extra points.
Don't write that down, but I really want to know what they think while you're feuding about.
Actually, what we could do is, after they answer this question, we could tell them some of the celebrities and they can guess what the feud was over.
That's funny.
I don't know.
I like that.
I was writing.
I'm very interested to find out who they would think she would fight with.
There aren't that many, in theory. I mean,
I can think of two.
I'm trying to think if that's Tommy's thinking face or I'm finished face.
I'm done.
I've got nothing.
Okay.
I just said.
Reveal yourselves.
I just said Donald Trump.
I'm sure, yes, but no.
Publicly, no. All right, Danielle.
I said Justin Guarini, and I said they were fighting over screen time and from Justin to Kelly.
Cute.
They were
quite the opposite, actually.
Yeah, I believe they actually sucked face. So, they're not so much of a feud there.
And at that point, she was like, "You could be in the movie by yourself. I want to be in this.
I'll like, be an extra."
Yeah, I think the fight over screen time was Justin saying, "No, you have to be in this movie." She's like, "No. You can do the scene on your own. No, it's fine."
It could be just from Justin to the Pennsylvania posse.
That's right.
All right. Oh, the last time we were the we were at Rob's with Danielle, we had Danielle watch From Justin to Kelly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were your thoughts, Danielle?
I like it a lot. I like the, it was just a lot of fun. I mean, maybe the story needed work. I don't know if that's a blasphemous thing to say on a Kelly Clarkson podcast.
No.
But it was very
good. The book needed work.
And I love the dancing. And I love the very archetypical characters, like the villain is the blonde and all that kind of stuff.
On a scale of community theater to Broadway, how likely do you think that show could actually be turned into a musical?
Oh my God.
Maybe a three. Off Broadway.
Okay, yeah.
Classic from Justin to Kelly.
Ooh.
I will say my favorite thing watching it was just watching Rob and Pam watching it, because like this, the whole Kelly Clarkson knowledge that they have is like a secret code, and just watching them like reference like little moments in the movie as like the, it was going on. It was like a whole movie in itself. I loved it.
Oh, that's something you find entertaining?
Oh,
oh, that's interesting. And what did I do?
You went to bed.
I went to bed.
That's Tommy's right. Like, if I have to hear about right. One more damn tie skirt.
Okay, so we should reveal some of the answers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The first one that came to mind for me was Clive Davis.
Yeah, me too. So
now, what would you guys think that she would be beefing over with Clive Davis?
Like over rights to copyright to songs or money or something?
No. Well, songs are just on the right track.
Maybe. Maybe it's like a release of albums or the type of stuff on the album.
Ooh, someone's getting warm.
Yeah, Danielle's definitely warm there.
Yeah. I think it goes with one of the songs that we, I guess we'll talk about later, that you guys like asked us to listen to. Because I feel agree. Like maybe not, or maybe not. Maybe I'm making that up.
No, I think you're right. That's okay. What I always thought about that song.
Do we agree that the beef with Clive Davis is over like artistic freedom and her ability to make her albums the way that she wanted to, rather than being a record label puppet?
And it was multiple times. So My December is the prime example. But then like he also said Because of You was a shitty song, and it literally went number one worldwide. So
yep.
Because it didn't rhyme.
Mm-hmm. Another one that I would say, I wouldn't say it's like super like an ongoing thing, but it was definitely a moment in online journaling history. Wow. Kanye West. She had very strong feelings about when he crashed the stage when Taylor was accepting her VMA.
Mm.
She wrote a whole journal on WordPress about it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still there.
Yep.
I am Kelly.wordpress.com.
Yep.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yep.
Kelly v. Kanye at Weebly.weebly.com.
I think it was geocities.com/sunsetstrip/654.
Yeah. It was a name chat room.
Yeah. That's right, yes.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I think the line that stands out the most in that letter to Kanye West was, "Who hurt you?"
Mm-hmm.
Another one, which one of you is going to have to like remind me of the full context, was Scott Borchetta.
Who?
Right? The Taylor Swift.
Scooter Braun?
No, Scott Borchetta. I think that was like pre-Scooter Braun. It had to do something with Taylor, I think.
I don't remember that.
Jeremy, do you remember that?
I vaguely remember.
It's another I Am Kelly WordPress journal entry. And do either of you two have any other people?
Oh, he's the founder of Big Machine. I looked.
Yeah.
That's the place that she had her music with, and who sold it to Scooter Braun.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, would you say David Hodges, or is that just because he was an ex?
There's literally no way in hell they would know who that is.
Right.
No.
But that feud existed.
Yes.
And so
he was from Evanescence. Right.
And like
she dated him.
Brandon would also count as a feud.
Sure.
As we learned,
he
sent a text about the towels.
That's right.
Sure, you could have the towels. All right. Before they are like, "What are you talking about?"
Hey. They're like, "You guys are doing it again."
Towels.
Danielle's smiling. I'm scowling.
Yeah.
Rob, yeah. Let me take the next question, because the fourth one you thought of, and I figured you can say that one.
Oh, okay.
All right. This one is probably going to be an easy one.
No.
What? Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see.
name the runner-up during her season of American Idol. See? You both nodded like...
I'll say, yeah, they had the smiles right away.
A freebie.
That was a freebie because his name has already come up multiple times today.
All right, what do you guys got?
Dustin Guarini.
Justin Guarini. Everybody's got it.
Perfect. Yeah, I remember, I remember watching it. I remember seeing it in my, like, my dorm or my apartment sophomore year of college and thinking, why is anybody voting for him versus her?
He's nice.
No, but like she, I mean, it's so clear she is a winner.
Of course. By then.
I'm sure he's very nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But compared to her in a talent competition.
All right. We have a lightning round. Very quick lightning round. You just have to say one word. Was it an album, a song title, or both? You can both, I guess, just answer out loud. There's no need to write the words a million times. Was this an album title, an album, a song title, or both? Behind These Hazel Eyes.
Song title.
Song title.
Good. My December.
Album.
Good. Catch My Breath.
Song title.
Yes. Yes.
Both got it correct. Yes.
Stronger.
Album.
Album and song title.
So both.
Tommy gets Ow. It.
Tommy gets it.
High Road.
Album title?
I say song title.
Song title is correct. Piece by Piece.
Album.
Song?
The answer is both.
Mm.
Oh. Chemistry.
Album.
Both, yes. Mm. Do you have any random ones to throw in there?
Ooh.
Album title, song title, or both?
All I Ever Wanted.
Song title.
Song title.
It's both.
Both.
That's the album with My Life Would Suck Without You.
I came up recently with Aperol I Ever Wanted, and and Tommy was like, oh, is All I Ever Wanted something that people would understand? I was like, yes, they would.
Ooh, can I come over for that one too?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, I've got one. Wrapped in Red.
Both, right?
Both, yeah.
Christmas. Yes.
Yeah.
Both.
All right.
What's next?
The last... Oh. This is going by way too fast, so I didn't think of enough.
All right, that was great. So we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to have sort of like a free-form conversation about, you know, I don't feel like I push Kelly onto anyone. Even the fact that we live together and, you know, Danielle sees me on social media. But at some point, she is an icon. She is someone that is in the real world. And there has to be moments of Kelly's or songs of Kelly's that have entered into your life without me pushing it for it to happen.
Mm.
And because she's fantastic, there must be songs that you enjoy with or without me pushing. So we want to talk a little bit about songs of Kelly's that you enjoy that you might surprise people.
Sure. I mean, I'll try to do this in kind of a quick little nutshell for each one that I'm going to mention. Mm-hmm. Number one, of course, is Before Your Love, because to me it sounds like a song from a musical. The way that it's written sounds to me like it could be in a show. Like it's the number right before the intermission, or it's the 11 o'clock number. There's a sort of Broadway element to it, which I like.
Interesting. I've never thought of it that way, but now I'm going to go back and listen.
There's a specific line that makes me think it's Broadway-esque.
But then again,
yeah,
I wasn't really living.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That she's on this track to get to the chorus, and then she sort of like backtracks and says, but then again, it's a really acty, dramatic moment that I like.
It's like her I Want song.
Yeah, very good. Yes, her I Want song. Absolutely. The other one, or the other two, and I'm not going to mention the Christmas because I love all of her Christmas songs, all of her original Christmas songs especially, is Breakaway, because I like the three-quarter time.
What does that mean?
It's a waltz. It's the sort of the rhythm of the song. And I remember distinctly being in New York City as a 22-year-old, and I was in between an internship and a full-time job, and I had all this time to kill. So I was new to the city, and I would just ride the crosstown bus, and listen to Breakaway like on repeat. I just really liked the song a lot because I felt like I was breaking away from Boston and living here in New York City.
You were spreading your wings and
learning how to
take the bus.
Yeah,
that's right. It was very valuable. It was a very valuable experience.
I also had a similar experience with Breakaway that I'll share after you're done.
Okay. And the last one, because it is just an MF bop. It is just the best song I've heard in so long. And it's That's Right. I just love it so much. And as Rob can tell you from my dances in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to see that.
Me too.
No.
And we have hand-picked glasses with the ocean and palm trees that we have to make a That's Right cocktail and put them in those glasses.
Oh, my God. What a great song.
Yeah. So Breakaway, I was studying in Spain at the time when the song leaked. And so I woke up, and I went to an internet cafe and I had an email from a friend of mine with the file, and the internet cafe could only burn MP3 CDs. And my Walkman at the time did not take MP3 CDs, which was a CD that only, I guess, played MP3. I don't know how that works, but I had to go to a Spanish Radio Shack and buy a new Walkman to listen to one song on a CD that I got for free. So this leaked song that wasn't officially out yet ended up costing me 80 euros.
And that pretty much encapsulates your entire like modus operandi. I need this thing that I need. I have to buy this thing for this very little purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. AKA Rob and I buying Rose's sweaters for a performance where she didn't sing the song Roses.
Sure didn't. And did I buy another Rose's t-shirt? Sure did. Okay, Danielle.
Obsessed. Danielle, what about you?
Well, I remember like when she won and growing up and listening to A Moment Like This. I really liked the way she sang it, especially like when she growled in like more spots.
You should
like,
do it, Danielle.
Spots
you
in
should,
the whole song. I was like,
you
like,
should growl.
Like, I really liked Miss Independent when I was. I feel like that came out when I was in like high school, and I felt like, oh, I'm like Miss Independent. I'm cool and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't need a man type stuff. I liked how that song sounded. I feel like Breakaway also is like the song where you listen to when you're like in a place you don't necessarily like want to be. And I feel like I've had those moments with that song too, where I like put it on a specific playlist and be like, oh, I just have to get away from here and spread my wings and learn how to fly. And I also really like Mr. Know-It-All.
Yeah.
I just love really that.
Love the way it sounds. And it's so sassy. So many of her songs are just like sassy. Like, you don't know me, go away.
You don't know me, go.
And I love the way she sings. I think it's so true, especially with like the karaoke stuff too. It's like she can sing anything really, and just her voice is so unique, and all the songs she's released are really cool. But I definitely liked Miss Independent. I feel like is probably my favorite one from growing up that I've always listened to.
So Danielle, okay, yes. I already know the answer for Tommy, which is why I'm not asking.
Okay.
But whenever, if ever, Kelly does another concert in New York, would you come with Rob and I?
Absolutely.
Okay. I know, Tom, and you won't.
No, I will not. No.
Why? How come?
I don't like to go to things. I've been to one concert in my life.
He's been to one concert in his life.
Like Fleetwood Mac when it was, I don't know, 2000, early 2000s.
Yeah. And your Fleetwood Mac sweatshirt that you have.
Yes.
You told us that the other day, and then you were wearing the Fleetwood Mac sweatshirt. You're like, that's the last concert that I've been to.
Yep.
No, awesome. I'll absolutely go with you guys. And I assume you guys will like dress me up or like tell me what to wear. Like wear this shirt with like roses on it, or like you can wear this Kelly Clarkson shirt or like something.
Well, Rob refuses to wear merch.
I don't own merch to wear. I don't wear things with anybody's face on it.
That's true.
Yeah. He donated all of it to me/podcast.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I showed up to Pam with a bin from my childhood bedroom of just stuff that I've accumulated that I'm like, I'm never going to wear any of this. Or like, where am I going to put a tour program? No, nowhere. So Pam.
And we did use some of them as giveaways like 2 years ago. So
yeah.
Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome.
All right. this last category, we gave you guys some homework, which Tommy kind of previewed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoyable homework.
Good. I really thought that it would be interesting to have the three of us, Jeremy, Pam, and myself, assign Tommy and Danielle a song each that we thought was an important representation of Kelly's discography, and we could explain why we chose each song. But I also wanted them to hear a song that I assumed they'd never heard before, and songs that I assume are really important to the fan community in general as a whole, and we could explain why we chose each song.
I followed none of these parameters. I was just like, I got to pick a really, like, really deep level song just to, because for a better chance of them having never heard it.
But you picked a song that I think is a really loved song by the fan community.
Yeah.
It's
okay,
top
fair enough.
Three Kelly songs ever, actually.
That's a hot take.
Very.
Sports, Pam. It's a great song.
I mean, no, I love it. I love it, but I don't know about top three ever.
Scorching hot.
So each of you picked one of the, because you gave us three songs. Each of you picked a song for it? Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Each of us picked one of them.
Oh, nice.
All right. Rob, you go first.
With my song?
Yes.
Okay. I chose You Love Me from the Stronger album. You Love Me is a song that Kelly wrote on. And I also feel like the Stronger album in general sort of is some of her strongest songwriting until Chemistry. With songs like Let Me Down, that I think she wrote in a yoga studio parking lot. I just love the songwriting on that album. I think You Love Me is like quintessential Kelly, sort of angsty, sort of rising above it, and just represents a cool sound for her and cool production as well, like super like 80s rock. I love it. I love that song.
We should have also given them the Smokestack version to listen to just for funsies.
Yeah, I don't like that version.
That's all right. You don't like that version?
No.
Oh, okay. So guys, thoughts on You Love Me?
Danielle?
I have my notes in my phone, which I will read to you now. I said that You Love Me sounds very girl power and definitely reminded me of the songs of like the time it came out. It was off the Stronger album, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely reminded me of like the songs from that album, like a type. I really liked how it sounded though. And then I was like trying to figure out like why it might have been important to people. And I put the lyrics in, I'm not good enough, you're not good enough. And I was like, maybe it's about a record label a la Love Song, like Sarah Bareilles, like actually that kind of thing. And then as an aside, I wrote the way she sings You Didn't Let Me Down sounded like the last time I freaked out in that Miley Cyrus song. Like, you didn't let me down. It's like...
The last time, wow!
The last time I freaked out. That's
freaked
what it
sounded like. Yeah.
It's very simple.
Good point.
I love that. I'm never going to hear it the same way.
that's how I feel after Tommy mentioned that Breakaway was a waltz.
Or Before Your Love should be at a Broadway show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Tommy.
I'm a high school English teacher, and so I broke these down into tones. So the three tones being of the three songs, mournful, defiant, and triumphant.
Okay.
So You Love Me to me conveys a defiant tone. So it's a very Kelly-esque, from what I know of her canon, a very Kelly-esque gaslighting song, you know, where it's like, you tricked me, you made me think that I'm not good enough, while at the same time telling me you love me, sort of making me think that I'm the crazy one and what's going on, but that's not the truth. And I loved she has many metaphors in her songs, and this one about the roller coaster, the idea that a roller coaster is fun. It's two extremes. It's highs and lows. And it reminded me, Danielle, you probably remember the song from Next to Normal, I Miss the Mountains, mm-hmm. where it's about this woman who's struggling with mental illness. And she goes on, this is going to be so long. She goes on.
I'm obsessed with this.
She goes on medication for it. Uh-huh. And she sings a song about how at this point she sort of feels this kind of neutral numbness, and she misses the mountains, the highs and lows of before the medication. And in this case, Kelly's saying that, you know, that roller coaster, it's fun and it's extreme, but it's meant to be a short-lived experience. And that's kind of what whatever it is that she's singing about was. And then she has that, like, in this, she sort of lists all the things, and then she has the light bulb moment where she's like, no, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. And it's the antithesis of you said this, but it's actually you are this. It's the opposite. And then, okay, I have a couple in these songs, like little musical or lyrical moments that stand out, like in Before Your Love, that one that I like. So I love when she does in her songs, not enough, which is why I think this song is my favorite. It's kind of like catch my breath. And
I'm so impressed with you.
No,
I don't know. I like that reminded me. It reminded me of that. And I don't have the obsessive gene, but I do have the sort of zoom in on one really specific moment in a piece. Gene,
I have to say, in the 12, 13 years that I have known the song, I have never once sat down and actually thought about the lyrics this in depth. So
that's me. I mean, that's what an
I know
does.
I know, and I am so impressed. And I'm like, this is the most prolific thing from a little pop rock song, track number, I don't know, 8 or 9, whatever it is.
Yeah, but that's her. Is it can seem innocuous at first, but like when you really sit down and you listen, and I listen to these three songs a lot over the last few days, it reminds you of one of the reasons why she has such incredible longevity.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a great point.
I'm not a super fan of anyone, but I can completely understand how somebody would be a super fan of Kelly.
All right. So my song is from Kelly's 2015 album, Piece by Piece. It is called Second Wind. For our Broadway fans on the show today, it was co-written by Shane McAnally, who you might know did the musical Shucked. And also it was co-written by Maren Morris. It would later show up on her 2016 album Hero, her debut album, but we're obviously talking about Kelly's version. So Danielle, I think we'll start with you on your thoughts.
I really liked how like funky this one sounded. But what was interesting to me is how similar the theme sort of felt to the other song, like the Sober that we listened to, where it was kind of just like in that sassy vein that I feel like Kelly Clarkson is so good at. But yeah, I was surprised also because I had never seen, I guess, that particular album cover before with her with like the blonde hair and like the kind of kaleidoscopy look. And I was like, I wonder why I've never really kind of heard this song before or when this kind of came out. But I really like how funky it sounded and like the background. I don't have too many notes, but that was like my only notes were sounds funky and why do people keep wronging Kelly Clarkson?
That's a great question. Correct.
So that she can write songs.
Right. What did you think of the album cover?
It was very, it reminded me of like a, it's not my favorite. It reminded me of kind of like a Photoshop, like when I was trying to learn Photoshop and I was trying to like.
Oh, like camera and on the MacBook?
Yeah,
MacBook?
Like the photo booth?
Photo booth.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. Yeah, like gradient and then like a photo booth thing and then like Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, it's definitely not many people's favorites.
Not beloved among our community.
But yeah. The album, please don't ask me about any of the covers.
Okay.
That's because of Spotify. Spotify was like, oh, this is the album cover. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
That's a word.
What about you, Tommy?
So I believe it's in my opinion, I believe the Second Wind conveys a triumphant tone in that it feels more like a statement about the resiliency of her career than the other songs do, which feel more personal, familial, or romantic in some way. I love the Idols reference at the beginning, which I picked up on when we first listened to it. I was like, Idol. you know what? Like, she should write more songs celebrating her resiliency. As I mentioned before, there's a reason why she's lasted this long. I mean, there have been other artists who have lasted as long as her or longer. Other artists who have tried their hand at other mediums and been successful. But this reminded me that, well, I guess these three songs in general reminded me, because they're sort of from different points in her career, mm-hmm. that like when it comes down to it, the instrument, her voice is just wild. And she, it's so, so good. And not only that, but she has the discipline and the forethought to take care of it in a way that other people who sing like her at that level when they're younger cannot do when their voice ages because of misuse. And she was able to sing in a way that she can do these albums now. She can sing karaoke and scream her face off, and it sound right and healthy. And that, my little musical moment here for this one, my obsessive musical moment, was I love how she fits Hate Me, Underestimate Me into one measure when she could have just split it up. You can hate me, underestimate me. Mm-hmm. Like, she wanted to fit it into that one little measure of common time or whatever it is, mm-hmm. instead of taking a pause and having it go into the next measure. I don't know, just one little thing that stood out to me about that song.
You know how some people love language is words of affirmation? I feel like, yeah. Tommy saying nice things about Kelly, I'm getting compliments. I feel like he's like just telling me nice things about myself.
I would love, and this also, I'm going to do a little side note, because I know Rob previewed something for me. I would love to sit in a classroom, hosted, taught by the two of you, Tommy and Rob, about Kelly Clarkson song analysis, where Tommy would give the lyric, you know, he would break down every single word and phrase and everything, and Rob would give the history behind the context. Yeah,
I could do that.
I'd take that class.
Yeah. I would take that class. But the reason why I bring this up is because didn't you ask your students about Kelly, or if they knew who she was?
Are you sure you want me to talk about that?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, it's fine. We can take it.
Disappointing, but go ahead.
All right. So I asked four sections of my English classes. So I teach sections of 10th grade English and sections of what is called ENL English. So English is a new language, where it's a sort of separate 2-year sequence for students who are new to the English language or new to the country. And as you might expect, in the two English as a new language sections, one kid knew who Kelly Clarkson was. And I said, who knows who Kelly Clarkson is? And one kid, raised her hand. And in my other sections, in one section there were 6, and in another section 6 out of 28, and in another section there were 4 out of 25 who knew who she was.
That's rough.
It's sad. And one kid said, when I asked who's Kelly Clarkson, and a kid said, is that a surfer? And I don't know where this came from, because this is, I teach on Great Neck, Long Island, and they, you know, no, these kids aren't surfing. They're studying SATs, so I don't know.
She just has a surfing sounding name.
Yeah, I guess.
That's really funny, though. I mean, it's sad, but it's also hilarious.
Yeah, but so, you know, maybe they'll understand her or come to see her or hear her later on in their lives.
Maybe that kid heard, yes, that's right. He's like, she likes the ocean.
Exactly what I was going to say. Maybe they heard that song about her singing about the beach and they're like, maybe she surfs.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she surfs.
That's not a kid who knew who she was.
Okay, our last song was one that I was like, they may have heard it before, but I don't know. Because this is a song that I feel like some general fans, or like people, you know, the general population, some people know, but a lot don't. And this is, I mean, arguably one of the, if not the most popular album tracks that Kelly has ever put out. It is, in terms of like a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. Everyone's obsessed with it. Everyone always wants her to perform it live. I adore it, and I think of it as kind of like a, I don't know what the word is, but like kind of like a, like a symphony, like a masterpiece. It just, it goes on, it, I don't know, it goes on like a ride, kind of similar to like how you were thinking of Before Your Love, like kind of builds and builds and builds. I think this does as well.
It's her magnum opus.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm not really sure what I'm saying, but it's a wonderful song, and I'm very intrigued to hear what you guys think. And she did, oh yeah, and she also did write this, I think entirely by herself, except for one line. Picked all my weeds but kept the flowers. Mm. That line was written by Reba's, was it niece? Cousin?
Calamity McIntyre.
Calamity, yep. McIntyre.
Oh, that's, I have an aside.
Like Calamity Jane.
But for anybody who has meetings in an office setting or anything, I want you to try, and I did it yesterday during one of my workshops, I want you to try to like look at a document and say, I wonder if we can pick the weeds and keep the flowers here. Is there any way that we could kind of pare this down? And I said it the other day in a meeting, and everybody was like, huh, that's a really good way to put that. So all of my people out there who are in an office setting, give it a try, because people are impressed by it.
Use it as your business speak.
Yeah.
I would run you out of town. You would not be able to say that to a group of high school teachers.
It worked.
No.
Okay.
By Danielle. The way, I love the fact that Pam, like, we are so like comfortable when we talk about this stuff. Pam is yet to actually say the name of the song.
Sure didn't. Oh, did I not say it? No.
You sure didn't.
The song is called Sober. I had no idea. The song is called Sober.
I know everybody listening knows what song you're talking about, even before you gave the lyric, but I was just like, is she going to say it?
Totally say it? Thought I did. So thank you for calling me out there. Danielle, Penny, for your thoughts.
I really liked that song. I thought it was so pretty. I'd be curious actually to know more about like why it's like the one of the particular fan favorites, like you were saying, like one of her most popular songs from all her albums. I thought it was beautiful though. I said the guitar is so pretty. It almost sounded like kind of like a banjo in it, like a light banjo. I said it sounded like she is singing in a beautiful field with a long dress on. It was like just so chill, but also so like meaningful.
That was such a cute melody.
And speaking of, I also forgot, Aben also co-wrote this. Not that means either anything to either, but I was like, Kelly wrote it entirely by herself. She didn't. The flower thing is an interesting, and not just because it says picked all my weeds but kept the flowers, but there's literally like a random photo from this album photo shoot of her like, she's, Rob and Jeremy, you may know this. She's wearing a purple shirt. She has the brown hair and she's like this in like a field of like wheat or something. Do you have any idea what I'm talking
about?
Oh, from
Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I always think of that photo when I hear the song, and I don't know why. But the, yes, in the fields, like, just frolicking. That's how I get this as well.
Now that's what I'm going to associate with it.
Yes.
Tommy? Frolicking with the wheat.
With the wheat.
with the wheat singing about picking the weeds and keeping the flowers.
Mm. Keeping the gluten.
Keep all my wheat and...
kept the glue in.
Separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yes.
Yeah, another great metaphor there. The weeds and the flowers. So this one was conveys a mournful tone. So to me, it feels like she's grieving a loss. So whether that loss is a literal loss, like the death of somebody important to her, or whether it's the loss of a relationship, which if you've ever had a long-term relationship and it ends, no matter on what terms it ends, there's still a grieving of sort of the expectation of what it was supposed to be when it started, at least. And the idea that to be sober suggests that you've given something up that was previously unhealthy or damaging, and perhaps you didn't know that, or likely you didn't realize that it was damaging or unhealthy at the time, but that you sober up and there's this awful but brilliant clarity that can come from that. And it can be really, really difficult. And it also, from a vocal standpoint, sounds younger. She sounds younger because it's an early album, obviously. And that it reminded me of the sort of weight of late adolescent emotion. So when you're in your early 20s, you know, 25, your prefrontal cortex is fully formed. But like right before you get to that point, and even after to a degree, like for me at least, early 20s were really, really the emotions felt heavier than they might have otherwise. And the song itself reminds me of that film, the songs from that film, Hearts Beat Loud. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If any listeners know Hearts Beat Loud, it's a great film about a father and daughter musician combo in Red Hook, Brooklyn. But I loved I love the song a lot, and I understand why it would be a fan favorite.
That was an excellent explanation, dissection, everything. That was great.
I always wondered if that song was written around a time that like her biological dad reappeared in her life. Because it reminded me of like, I think maybe at that point it was like the weight of fame, like everybody sort of like coming out of the woodwork to be like, now you're something and I want something out of you. Mm. And then she sort of had to cut people out of her life. I wonder if that's like around the time of like Irvine and all that. But that's always just been my take.
Right. And for her, for all of that to happen, you know, like when you're in high school, it's not that things aren't emotional. It's a roller coaster. But like you are protected by your parents and by the school schedule and your teachers and like all of this stuff thrown out at you. And then when you're out of college or you're at the end of college or even in college, suddenly there's this freedom and agency and autonomy that is very scary and hard to handle. Mm-hmm. And for Kelly then to be thrust into the spotlight in the way that she was at that age, that's really tricky. So whatever it is, I can understand how this deep a song would come out of that era.
Hearing Tommy talk about this song and really dive into the inner meanings of it makes me think, Pam, that we need to have somebody maybe who's already a fan, who is a therapist, just come on and talk about some of Kelly's songs and just like try to dissect it the way that Tommy is. Cause we've already made Tommy like listen to enough.
And I'm definitely not a therapist.
But like we need to give him a break. But no, that's an excellent perspective into that song. And I kind of want to go back to something that Danielle had asked earlier about why the fans attach themselves to this song. And I mean, I would love to hear what you both, Rob and Pam, have to say about this, but I think for me, it's one of the earliest examples of her really, I mean, straight up just wailing on a song, really just giving the full performance of what she was capable of at the time. And also just, I think a lot of people attach themselves to the lyrical content. And just for me, it is the crescendo song for me. It is the buildup of it all that really makes that song very, again, magnum opus like, that is one of the reasons why I attach myself to that song.
Yeah, I think for me, that song and also a lot of the ballads on the album, like I was going to give you a different song from the album, but I'm like, let's just go with Sober. But some of the first examples of her, I mean, writing pretty much every single song and it seeming to be like autobiographical, whereas the previous two albums she had maybe written here and there. I mean, obviously there was like Because of You and stuff like that, but this was like a full compilation of songs that came directly from her, straight from her like diary, so to speak, and it felt like a real connection there. Mm. At least for me.
Yeah, it's about connection for me as well. Like when you think about when many of us became fans of hers, especially during this era of like American Idol, we met her during the top 30, and there was like a protection quality to this album in particular. Like, we know she went through a lot to release it. It sounds like lyrically she had been going through a lot at that point, and like we started seeing like cracks in the armor with like lyrically, like Irvine, Sober, maybe, of like it wasn't as glossy and glitzy as the other two albums. So when we hear something like Sober, we sort of wanted like could protect her and like cocoon her from like all the things that she's experiencing, because we started seeing that she was human. This was like the first sort of glimpses of like things not being as perfect as they seem from the outside. And because we feel so intimately close to her, it becomes like a protection quality to that song. Whew.
That's an interesting perspective. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
Love that.
Thank you for introducing me to those three songs. I really, especially after a few listens, really enjoyed it.
Yay.
Do you think now that we've opened
I'm going to say no already.
Now that we've opened the gate, that you'll want to listen to more?
I do listen to a lot. You play it all the time.
But you're not going to like listen to an album. Like, are you going to be
a
like
full album?
Yeah, like, you know what? Today I'm going to try my December.
Maybe we give them like sporadically, like once every few months, we'll just give you guys another 3 tracks to listen to. Just for funsies.
If I get lost in something on the treadmill or something at the if I get lost in something at the gym, and I hate going to the gym and I hate working out. So if I get lost in something, that's a sign that it's good for me.
Okay.
You want me to go through like an album from start to finish, you mean?
Maybe. I mean, maybe not, but like, you know, we're sending these two people out into the world again.
Let's go, Danielle.
And
with their new knowledge, we have
with their new knowledge, their new sort of
I spread my wings and I learn how to fly.
They're breaking away from Listen to Podcast, and what do we send them out into the world with? Like, do we send them away with a different set of songs, or like if we were to like imagine that we were giving them more songs to listen to, like what they would be? I don't know. I'm assuming they're not going to want to listen to 5 more songs or 10 more albums, but you know, I know that we could keep going with songs.
We could.
We won't. We could.
But we could.
I think we send them out to into the wild with just the knowledge that they know a little bit more about us.
Why we are the way we are.
Yes. You were right where I was, Pam. You understand a little bit more of why we are the way we are, and you can see sort of a few of the reasons why she has her hooks in us so strongly. And we're not saying that, you know, we're trying to get you to also join in, drink the Kool-Aid.
Convert to the Church of Clarkson.
Not so much, no. But we just hope that now when you walk by the Church of Clarkson, you'll look over and say, you know, I was there once. It's not a bad place. There's nice people there.
To me, it's a yes and situation. Yes, I am not and never will be a super fan of any one or thing. Mm-hmm. And I understand how you have been hooked and believe that Kelly Clarkson is worthy of that fandom, in my opinion.
So he's genuflecting at the Church of Clarkson.
Yeah, right. It's like I can appreciate growing up Catholic, even though I don't go to mass anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And take that away from you.
If I think I heard Danielle correctly, he's in a pew. He's in the back, but he's in a pew.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I will still sing you all of those Catholic hymns. You know, but I'm not gonna go through the whole thing.
No.
Y'all are the choir behind Kelly, like dancing and singing, and then we're just sitting back there, like observing, and we're like, okay, like got our homework. But I think that's what I love so much about this kind of thing is like you guys have such a like understanding of this, but like everybody bringing their own perspectives into this kind of thing and how much we relate to the songs, and also Tommy's particular like background and hearing him kind of like break down all this kind of stuff is fascinating to listen to. Sure, because it gives you like a new meaning and or thinking about the song.
Well, that's what I mean. Analysis is just kind of your opinion masked as fact, and that is just my opinion.
Well, thank you both for expanding your horizons and be willing to deal with us this early in the morning talking about all things
time.
Kelly.
Yeah.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us, and I will see you soon. And Jeremy, you're going to have to come out and hang out with us sometime.
I know, please. I know.
I'm constantly peer pressuring you because it's so easy and cheap to go to New York.
Yeah.
Super accessible. Danielle and Tommy, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
We want to thank so much our guests today, both Tommy and Danielle, and also Rob for joining us today once again on the podcast. Again, I think we have one more. Do we have one more episode sort of in our little trilogy of like fan episodes here, Pam?
No.
Or is this the last one, isn't it?
This was the last one, yeah.
Yeah. This was a fun little thing to do between, you know, new fans and generational fans and then people who are just not even in the fandom at all. to sit down and talk with them about Kelly and her music. This has been a lot of fun.
It has. And Rob, thanks for coming on the journey with us.
Anytime. I think I weaseled my way into one more thing coming soon that we're doing in March.
Oh, yeah, which Jeremy never actually answered me on, so I don't know if we're...
maybe not.
Whatever. No, we're going to do it. I want to do it.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We'll record it just for fun. But
Pam will muscle her way in and just do it.
Anywho, we will be back next week with a brand new episode. I think next week is our independent tour breakdown.
Yes, we're going to talk all the way back to the independent tour in 2004. It is going to be fun to celebrate the 20th anniversary of that tour, if you can imagine.
I wasn't there, but we're going to have some guests on the show who were there that can share some memories. Until then, hope you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Miss Into Podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Find us and continue the conversation at Miss Into Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find more at missintopodcast.com.